And now, Icon Art Radio.
Hi, it's Bill Teeple, and I'm here with Alan Cobb for Icon Art Radio. When we think of the Contemporary Art Museum, we generally think of visual art. Almost synonymous with the idea of contemporary art is visual art. You are a sound artist, and you have got me so interested and excited about the whole side of contemporary art that falls under the category of sound art that we are establishing now under ICON, the Sound Art Institute. Could you say a few words about that?
Well, there's nothing I'd like more.
About a half hour of monologue?
Funnily enough, I've been thinking about that very subject. I, as a sound artist, sometimes I call myself a composer. Sometimes I just give up because I know that most people are going to assume I'm talking about writing notes on staffs and having them performed by musicians with instruments from European history. And in fact, sound as art is an amazingly broad category. It's not just what I do by any stretch. And I was going over all of the areas of sound art a couple of days ago in preparation for this show, and I realized I had come up with about 24 different fields of sound art, sound as art in one sense or another. One of those is music. The other almost 24 of them are not in the conventional sense music. And another thing that struck me that was really kind of exciting is that almost every one of them involves a career of some kind too. There are jobs in sound art from a couple of dozen different directions, and that's surprising. It's not, we think of sound as what we hear, but in fact there's an awful lot of what we hear that we aren't thinking about, and so it sort of doesn't work both ways.
So you're talking about jobs that exist today in those fields, or are we talking about the projection of where it can lead if we start to approach some of these areas?
Really, we're talking about existing, professional activities that fall into a whole lot of different kinds of work with sound, and of course there's engineering and research and scientific explorations of sound that go way beyond the 24 categories I came up with. I mean, there are probably, 100 different scientific fields involving sound. You can go online and buy devices specifically designed for recording bats. That's just what that's all they do. They come with a connection designed to plug into a GPS system so that you can take one of these $5,000 boxes and go out into the woods and nail it to a tree, and it will record its location and the exact time by using the satellites as a clock, and all of the bat sounds, only the supersonic bat sounds, the ultrasonic bat sounds that are happening in that area. And you come back a month later and collect the recordings. And there are companies making nothing but, or primarily, bat recorders. Now, who's interested in that? Well, biologists are interested in that. Zoologists are interested in that. Ecologists are interested in it, and so on. And it has nothing at all to do with sound art. You can study acoustics and sound and the physiology of hearing and on, but...
So the specific parameters that you're defining under the Sound Art Institute would be as an art form.
Yeah,
but just taking into account more than music.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, in some sense, our study of music would be one of the more unconventional approaches to it, because we'd be looking at music as a phenomenon of sound and a phenomenon of art, but not as musicians and musicologists and ethnomusicologists have traditionally looked at it. Possibly the ethnomusicologists are the ones most, would have the most in common with our approach to music, because an ethnomusicologist looks at the cultural impact of the music. He looks at why the music exists in that society and what role it plays in the society. And he doesn't spend as much time thinking about how did the chord structures change over the last five generations, and, you know, why do we no longer have first violin, you know, setting the tempo and we use conductors instead. There's a lot to be said about music, and there's already armies of specialists and experts doing that. So that's not an area that we want to compete in. There's so many other areas of sound as art that aren't being touched, that no one's talking about except the people who are doing them. And because we don't think of sound in a very comprehensive way, and even though it's omnipresent, we haven't, I think, as a culture, we haven't really recognized how incredibly important it is and how much creative and artistic activity is involved in sound. It's everywhere.
So let's go over some of these other ways of looking at sound.
Okay, well, you know, the stuff that I do is you've always called it sound sculpture, and I guess in the final analysis that's the best name for it. I'm playing with the texture and spatial aspects of sound, which is kind of what sculpture does with tangible material. I'm fascinated by sound in three dimensions, and one reason for that is because sound has a lot to do with how we perceive three dimensions. If it weren't for sound, you wouldn't know anything about the room that you're in unless you walked around the room touching the walls and coming to some conclusion about how big it is. But with sound, you know within a few seconds of hearing anything happening sonically in that space. You also now know that space. It tells you. You, as I've said before, a 1 second recording of an eagle's cry over the Grand Canyon tells you this is vast. And 1 second of us talking in a small room like this, and you instantly know they're not in the Grand Canyon. They're in a relatively small room. And if I add a little reverberation in post-production to this program, then you'll think we're in a big room. And that's information that's very important and automatically processed by the nervous system, but it's something we don't consciously think about very much unless we need to know what kind of a room we're in. And of course we have vision, so we also already know a lot of that stuff even faster than we do from sound. So anyway, that's sound sculpture is my approach to exploring that, and it involves using multiple speakers positioned fairly far apart so that where the sound is coming from plays an important role in how you experience the composition. And it turns out that there are a lot of very interesting, subtle experiences in that process that tell you a lot about how you hear and a lot about it gives you another dimension as an artist to do things that are fun and exciting and revealing.
Well, in visual art, for some time throughout the whole modernist period, we've been interested in how visual form structures space and how visual forms play against each other in a pure form way. And I feel like with the Sound Institute and the things that you're exploring and some other aspects that sound is being approached in this similar way, and mm-hmm. people haven't thought about this at all. This is, people think music and there's a whole world of music, but this whole other side of it is just waking up, and there's a whole movement, isn't there, in the world today, up to this?
Yeah, there are quite a few different areas that people are exploring. I mean, there's a whole career path in sound design. just making new sounds. For example, for a manufacturer of synthesizers, as soon as they come up with a new synthesizer instrument, naturally they have to provide a set of examples of what that instrument can do. So there are people who make a living by working with synthesizer manufacturers and composing the factory patches that show up, you know, as defaults when you buy the instrument. There's also sound design for other applications, like sound design for movies, sound design for special effects and sound effects and so on. And we can get into some of those others later. But beyond sound design, there are people using sound as an alternative to photography, to capture the reality of the areas that they live in or areas that they enjoy. So they go around with microphones and recorders and you know, sit quietly and listen and let the mic listen. And there are organizations of phonographers, as they're called, in every major city, probably every major city in the world nowadays.
Well, you talked about, you know, this is almost like taking a sampling of a sound experience as we would experience a photograph,
right.
Which is so
that's right.
Fascinating
that
no one,
yeah.
I mean, nobody looks at it, the possibility of that even.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing the potential there. But you also talked about groups going out and having listening sessions.
Yeah, there's a very popular pastime now that's also emerging. And you can, if you do a web search for sound walk, you'll find there are people, again, in certainly every major city in the U.S. and many, many other cities around the world, where people just get together on a street corner and stand there and sort of soak up the sonic environment that they're in. And, you know, I mean, back in the 60s, sensitivity training was telling people to do the same thing, just, you know, be more aware of your environment. But here people are actually turning it into an art form. A sound walk is an artistic approach to experiencing the sound of an area, of a place. And you do it by, for example, I mean, there's lots of ways of doing it, but you go to a particular location and you listen or record. And then you go to a specific next location and you listen and record and think about the difference. Think about what's changed. And in the world of sound, what has changed may be very different than what changed visually. And the sounds that come to us unbidden, containing no, you know, deliberate information. You're not standing on the street corner listening for the specific ring of, you know, a particular streetcar or something. You're just standing there hearing the roar of the city or the, you know, clank of the construction site across the street or whatever it is. And if you just listen to that and listen to it the way you would listen to a composition by a sound artist, you find that it is a composition and it is just as fascinating as anything else you could listen to. Probably more interesting than this radio program.
To me, it's extremely exciting. I mean, when you first started talking about what you're doing, and I sort of characterized it as sound sculpture, it was like a light bulb went off. It was like, why haven't I gone here before? And I mm-hmm. feel like what you're doing and what this group all over the world is doing in awakening this area of life, it's like taking human awareness and shifting the attention in a way that it hadn't been. It's been there all along, but the attention's not been there.
Yeah.
Because everybody it's just taken for granted that you could go take a walk and stand and enjoy the view here, and then over here we enjoy the view here, and it's all visual. It's like we've been living in an over saturated visual uh-huh. awareness environment, and yeah. all this sound's been going on all along, but you didn't even notice it.
Yeah, well,
and now you're talking about placing the attention, and then you're hearing a symphony a composition of arrangement of sounds around you at every moment.
Right.
And now the attention's just being shifted there. It's very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, we've said so many times before, when you take an object and put it in the gallery, it becomes a special object. It's been exalted by being in the gallery on a pedestal. And in a way, the phonography sound artists are saying, yeah, we're surrounded by scenery in the sonic domain, in the world of hearing, and we're ignoring it. So let's just stop ignoring it. Now, it may not be as dramatic as going to a movie and having, you know, a really roaring, exploding soundtrack all around you and a huge screen, you know, with a blazing, bright, visually fascinating image dancing all over it. But, you know, that has its limitations. You don't go to a museum for that kind of hyper stimulus. You go to a museum for subtlety and to get into the discoveries that people make inside, not showing off what they can do outside. And sound as art, I mean, this phonography is just another aspect of sound as art. We've accepted sound as a kind of art in film for many, many years. And it's only in recent years that the, you know, the sound artists who contribute to the production of a motion picture are really beginning to get credit for it. And they, you know, they do amazing things. There are several careers in sound just in sound for film. You know, there's dialogue editing, which is a really an art in its own. Of course, there's the music, there's the score, which we won't go into because there are 800,000 people already discussing that. But there are people who build the ambience or the room tone that fills out a scene and makes it sound like it really is underwater or in a tank or in a spaceship or in the forest or whatever. And there are other people with different skills who make their living creating sound effects, specific, you know, sounds that match up with what you see visually. When I was in high school, I did the sound for a production of Journey's End, which was a World War I play. And it takes place in a bunker, and at the end of, and you hear distant machine gun fire and distant howitzer fire and stuff. And in the course of the play, the fighting gets closer and closer, and then the play ends when they realize it's too close, and they all leave. And then the set gets destroyed, and that's kind of the end. You know, a howitzer shell comes in and blows up the set. And I, you know, naively went out and through interlibrary loan, I was able to get recordings of howitzers and recordings of World War I, you know, Enfield rifles and things like that. And I tried making a soundtrack for it. The reel-to-reel tape recorders were, you know, had just become accessible to mere mortals, in particular, you know, high school students. And I made recording after recording after recording of real weapons, real firearms and cannons and things like that going off, and not one of them sounded real. They were real, but they didn't sound real, because even then, already, we had become conditioned by the radio and by movies and by a little bit of black and white television to know that, you know, when a cannon goes off, it makes a booming sound. Well, anybody who was in World War I will tell you, no, it doesn't. You know, it makes a sort of a horrible crumping sound, but it doesn't read as a cannon. And after a lot of experimentation, I found that I could make a cannon, a howitzer, something that sounded like you'd expect a howitzer to sound by blowing on the microphone. And I could make machine gun sounds by blowing on the microphone, you know, going as fast as I could up real close so that the air is actually flapping the mic the way in a, you know, a really loud sound would, and then play it back at double speed. So I made the soundtrack that way, and it sounded, you know, quite realistic. Everybody was very satisfied with it, and I had speakers all over the auditorium, because I was even then unknowingly making use of the spatiality of it. But it's fascinating how, you know, we don't things don't sound the way we expect them to necessarily. And so a sound effects artist is someone who knows how to convince you that you're hearing whatever it is you're supposed to be hearing. And then there's the subtle side, and we're still just in film. There's the Foley artist who creates sound effects live while the film is playing to fill in all those missing sounds that the mics on the set didn't pick up. If you had mics on the set that were sensitive enough or located in the right places so that you picked up all the footsteps and all of the clothing rustling and all of the glasses being set down on tables and books being opened and things like that, you'd also hear everyone breathing and everyone's stomach rumbling and, you know, everyone clearing their throat quietly and all the people standing around off camera trying to support the production, and the soundtrack would be useless. So they just record what they absolutely have to get, and of course in some cases they record nothing. And then someone creates room tone to build the sound of that environment, and someone else creates special effects, and then they play it back with the dialogue on a screen in a studio, and a Foley artist, named after Jack Foley, who was the first guy who, you know, really systematized this approach back in the 40s, I think. They have trays of gravel and sand and linoleum and hardwood and so on, and they have a rack full of shoes, all of whatever size the Foley artist happens to wear, but he's got, you know, clodhoppers, and he's got rubbers, and he's got galoshes, and he's got high-heeled shoes, and he's got squeaky sneakers, and so on. And if it calls for a woman running down a linoleum hallway, he puts on the high-heeled shoes, and he stands on the tray with the linoleum panel in it, and he goes tappity-tap in time to the movie. And then they mix that in, you know, very quietly, and it takes the movie from being like a dream into being like reality. And the Foley artist will set a drink down on a table with a mic right next to him, and you'll get the sound of the glass hitting the table and the tinkling of the ice cubes, and you'll know that it's real, even though that sound, when you see it, when you see the scene, is really faint, and it's just barely audible, but it fills in the gap, and it makes the difference between dream and reality.
We're starting to run down on time here, and this is such an interesting area. I'd like to continue next week.
Okay, yeah.
So if we can give me, in the last 3.5 minutes here, an idea of what you're going to be doing with the Sound Institute.
Well, I want to explore all of these areas, and I'm very interested right now in finding out who in Fairfield would like to work with me. I'd like to, you know, have two or three people who at the moment, you know, can just contribute ideas and projects and things. I'll be looking for grants, and you know, we'll be trying to come up with installations or presentations or programs of some kind that ICON can offer the community that will give people a better idea of how incredible the world of sound as art really is. And I think also from a community standpoint, it's relevant to put a little emphasis on all the different career opportunities that are connected to sound. Because, I mean, I'm interested in it as a fine artist, but I'd love to be able to earn some money doing it. And you know, film art, film sound is one of the areas that you can make money in it. But there are, you know, there's a dozen other careers in sound. If sound fascinates you, sound as sound, not just as, you know, something that is an accessory to something else, then, you know, you really are in a very broad field. And I think most of us don't realize how broad that field is. So the Institute should show us what the possibilities are, and right, explore the areas that are most interesting to whoever it is that gets involved in the Institute first.
So if someone's interested in contacting you, Can they contact you directly at your website? At your email? Or?
Yeah, my email address is the letter A at acob.com. That's A at acobb.com. Or, of course, they can, you know, get to me through ICON anytime, the ICON Gallery on the Square, leave a note with you or ask you for my phone number.
So ICON's at 58 North Main. This is the new gallery that we're still in the process of remodeling, but soon it will be in full swing.
Right, and hopefully the Sound Art Institute will be an exciting component of that project.
I'm looking very forward to that. And I think we can provide installations and CDs.
That absolutely,
will,
yeah.
Packets, packages, where we can deal with some of these aspects of sound art.
Yeah. Well, next week, why don't I just go over all of these different areas, you know, kind of do a brief thumbnail of each. And this is not, you know, encyclopedic. It's just what I've thought up in
the last few hours. I mean, I'd like you to go over maybe each one and talk a little bit about each one.
Sure. No, that would be very interesting. I look forward to doing that.
Good. Well, tune in next week. And it's been a pleasure. Thanks again for. We'd like to do a sound show fairly regularly on ICON Radio because I find this to be a very stimulating area of interest.
Yeah, we've gotten some interesting feedback when I played around a little with the
Well, and I like your sound art just as pure art.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's fun too. And demos of some of these areas, you know, you can do little sound examples that work on the radio and
Yes, good.
Excellent. Well, I'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Okay, thanks, Alan.
Listening to ICON Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.